watch out.
Yeah, talking about way out there.
Boeheim! Wow, is that silence in a little bit?
Schrader takes. It's a two-man rush. Schrader steps
Stop
up.
It.
Pop pass up the middle. Tucker's got it. Room to run. 15, 10. Hit in. For an Oilers touchdown.
The Bills make me want to shout.
Allen looks to his left. Fires left side. In, oh, to the end zone. Stephon Diggs makes a catch. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Swing into this. It is over. The Boston Red Sox, baseball's best all season long. They have won it all.
This is On the Block.
Yeah, I was driving home yesterday, so I heard some of your show.
Thanks, Brent.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brent.
2-1.
Here's X-Men.
Here on ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1, ESPN Radio, the Carome Herd, 96.5 FM, Herd, wherever you are, whatever you are doing on the ESPN app. Seen, heard, and everything in between, folks. All the senses tickled. We're still trying to fill out how you can smell us on QSportsTalk.com because we smell nice. But most of the sensations there, you can see the show, you can hear the show, you can use your fingertips to chat during the show and give us all of the takes, hot or otherwise.
That's hot.
Bring it, baby. At QSportsTalk.com, where we have pre- and post-game shows. We have watch parties. Did you see Josh and Cody? You saw one man shave another man's back hair during the watch party on Saturday, because you just never know what's going to happen during our watch parties. We've got the Chris Joe and Devo show. We've got live chats with current Syracuse basketball players, past Syracuse basketball players. Jim Boeheim, his live chat exclusively for our friends at QSportsTalk.com Thursdays after he does his radio show. I mean, I could just sit here all day and tell you all of the fun content at QSportsTalk.com. We are there, and during radio breaks, by the way, our radio audience hears commercials, but you at QSportsTalk.com do not, because we chat with you. Yes, we do. We keep the conversation rolling during commercial breaks. Mics are open. Anything can happen. Happy Monday, everybody. Ready to rock and roll on a snowy Monday in central New York. Dr. Martin Luther King Day as well, as we remember and reflect on the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King here today. Snowy, cold, get a snowblower out type of Monday. Oh, yeah, we revved that baby up. You know, it wasn't too much snow on the driveway where I was, depending on where you are in central New York. But first of all, I like to use the snowblower whenever possible. And second of all, it's like that heavy snow. I'm like, I'm not messing with that. Just not even going to mess with it. Rev it up, baby. So hope you're digging out well and staying warm. And if you had the day off, hope you enjoyed it. Let's rock and roll and get going here. We got two guests joining us today on the program. One, it'd be great to catch up with this guy. I was thinking about him this weekend as the Cincinnati Bengals win a NFL playoff game for the first time in 31 years. The Icky Shuffle was invoked during the broadcast on Saturday, and this gentleman was calling the game on the radio side. He's a former broadcaster here in central New York, WTVH5, called Chiefs games, amongst many other things, Syracuse grad, and the voice of the Cincinnati Bengals. Dan Horde is going to join us today. Looking forward to catching up with Dan, who not only calls the Cincinnati Bengals, he's also the voice of the Cincinnati Bearcats. Obviously, their football team made a strong run to the playoff this year, and he's right on scene there for what's been a terrific run for Cincinnati football, both on the NFL level and at the college level here in recent weeks. And a guy who always keeps his eye on all things Syracuse, and it'd be great to catch up with him. He's calling the game in one booth. Mike Tirico from Syracuse calling the game in the other. So always great to catch up with old friends that are doing big things in the broadcasting world. And Dan Horde is going to join us today to do that. We will certainly talk Syracuse, Florida State, kind of where Syracuse is at right now. That's some great feedback from a column I wrote today. We'll kind of bring that conversation onto the radio. It's a 10-question blindside Monday. Hot takes will kind of focus on the NFL football weekend. Dallas Cowboy fans, listen, don't take this personally, but can we stop hearing about your failure of a football team? I know it's hard not to take that personally, but I don't want to hear any more about America's team and all this stuff. Like, just to quote my good friend Adam Schein, get them off my TV, right? Just get them off my TV. 11 straight times that in 11, not 11 straight playoff appearances, this would make this even worse, in their last 11 playoff appearances, haven't even made the conference championship game. I mean, that football game in and of itself, entertaining, hung in there. I mean, if anything, Dallas brings the numbers and the ratings and the drama, but what a dumb football game that was in so many ways. So we will go over the NFL playoff weekend. Our friend Sal Capaccio is going to join us right here in this hour, because I don't know if you guys watched football on Saturday night after the SU basketball game, and maybe perhaps saw that
the Bills make
the Buffalo Bills.
Throw your hands up and
said, "Who is your daddy?"
The Bills are making
to Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. You know how many straight drives the Buffalo Bills score touchdowns on? What do you say we count them together, ladies and gentlemen? I can't even use the voice guy because the number's too high. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You know how many times that's happened in NFL history, folks? Never happened. Bills did it first.
Hey, hey, hey,
hey.
Make me wanna.
Oh, it's Kansas City time. The Bills and the Chiefs are going to wrap up the divisional weekend, traditionally the best weekend of NFL football. And once again, the AFC Championship game on the line for two teams that have been knocking on that door a lot recently. Kansas City, of course, has been there proverbially, it seems, the past few years. And Buffalo just right back in that conversation to those hardy souls that were there in Orchard Park Saturday night, still thawing out. Man, for those about to rock, we salute you. What a crowd. What a game. I'm still in awe. I am still in awe of what we watched on Saturday. To just slice and dice a Bill Belichick team in the postseason. You know what it was, folks? It was cathartic. It was just downright cathartic. Years of pent-up frustration against that team. And there's been some moments. There's been some wins. There's been some knockout blows. But, man, for Buffalo, they essentially pitched a perfect game. We told you about the 7 straight touchdown drives. They did not attempt a field goal in that game. And the way Tyler Bass was kicking extra points, that's probably for the better. They did not punt in that game. You know how many times Bill Belichick has had a team in consecutive games not attempt to punt? Once. The Bills, this year, week 16, that game. They did not commit a turnover. That's never happened in NFL history in the course of one game. For that to happen against New England is incredible. It's well beyond anything I thought. If the Bills won by 1 point, I would have been happy. It's the playoffs. You just advance, survive, move on as best as you can. But, oh, what a complete undressing of the New England Patriots. For a weekend for the Patriots and Cowboys to be embarrassed, like, I don't know how it gets better than that. But the Bills move on. Tough challenge against Kansas City ahead. Sal Capaccio will recap it for us coming up. He was there. Sal, the opposite of thawing out, by the way. He had a little incident that he'll tell us about. Thankfully, he's okay. But he posted a picture on social media and said, "Ooh, man, don't get too close to that heater now. That thing's on. And it's on high on a night like tonight." But Syracuse basketball falls to Florida State again. And when I say again, this is the first time they lost to Florida State, but I instinctively said they lost again because there is a pattern with this team. If coffee's for closers, then apparently this team gave it up for a New Year's resolution. There is just something about this team. They cannot close out close games. Like, when you look at the game Syracuse wins, the game before that, Pittsburgh, it was a decisive win. There was no drama. Syracuse, it went into halftime down by a point, but takes over in the second half. No drama, right? Typically when Syracuse would now go back to Indiana earlier in the year, there was a lot of drama there. Double overtime game. There were some close wins for this team, but by and large, when they win, they win. When they lose, in their last five straight games, as a matter of fact, that have registered as a loss, 5 points or less. One play doesn't go their way. Now, that's not always the case. When you look at close games, people always kind of focus on the last play, the last couple of minutes, and certainly the last play in this game was, oh boy, head shaker. But see, like the Miami game. Yeah, they lost by a point, but they had an 18-point lead. That was Chinese water torture. Drip, 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 drip. Miami just kept coming back. Before you know it, took control of the game. Wake Forest was one play, an inbounds play that they could not execute, but were given overtime to make up for that. Couldn't get over the hump, right? Georgetown, game that came down to, you know, Muhammad having an amazing second half, slow but sure comeback by Georgetown, but, you know, some plays that don't go your way in the last few possessions. There's a pattern here. This team, for whatever reason, and I think the big reason is defense, right? When you're a flawed defensive team, it just gives teams opportunity after opportunity. But again, that doesn't have anything to do with the inbounds play that went awry. And yeah, buddy got fouled on that play and the whole deal, but come on, you got to execute an inbounds play. This game, so Syracuse makes a rare defensive stop. 30 seconds to go, timeout. They come out of the timeout disorganized. They come out of the timeout trying. Now, some credit's got to be given to Florida State. The way Florida State played pressure defense and got to Joe Girard through the game, the switch to the three-man, smaller lineup, which worked, you know, for all the talk of Syracuse doesn't use its bench, which it doesn't. They're last in the country in bench points. Symer Torrence kept Syracuse in that game. Symer Torrence gave Syracuse a jolt in how he had to kind of handle the ball, distribution, gets four assists, 4 points in a short period of time. With the impact that Symer makes in a compacted period of time is significant. Now, he's flawed offensively. He can't get to the basket and finish. He's not a three-point shooter, not a good free-throw shooter. But he does so many other things for you that when you need to give that team a spark, that's what he's there for. But there's just not a lot of options on that bench. But, look, we all saw what happened at the end. Now, Jimmy Boeheim got a shot. For all the people that are out there, oh, of course, the ball goes to the coach's son and you know, that criticism that's out there, it's like, I mean, he did get fouled on the play. He did. You can't count on the officials to give you those whistles. No one's saying, you know, that's what cost Syracuse the game. I'm not saying that, but go watch the replay. I watched it 5 times today. He got fouled on that play. Now, do you want Jimmy Boeheim with the ball in the paint if he gets fouled? He's a, what, 60% free throw shooter right now? That's debatable. That's just how that play went. It ends up with Jesse. Jesse doesn't feel like he's got the shot. Jimmy ends up and had a shot. I mean, it's one thing if Syracuse just ran around like a chicken with its head cut off for 30 seconds and didn't get a playoff. They got a shot off. But see, it's what happened after that, and there's something that's getting lost in translation with this team in key moments. Can't execute an inbounds play. You know, cannot get by Wake Forest. They had one field goal in overtime. Key moments of Georgetown game. Can't close out Miami. Let them back in. And again, a lot of this is related to defense. Like, there's a pattern there. There's just a killer instinct that is lacking with this team. Because after the Jimmy Boeheim foul, in my opinion, but missed shot, they don't foul. Ball goes all the way down the court. Easy for Cleveland. Still just a 2-point lead at that point. And Joe Girard just had a flashback to his high school football days and throws, frankly, what was just a dumb pass. A dumb pass, as Jim Boeheim notes here.
I don't know what he said. He had thought he had somebody open, but he didn't.
He definitely didn't. He definitely did not have anybody open. And look, that's just in key moments and clutch situations. There's 4 or 5 seconds on the clock. You're trying to make a play. That can happen, right? But the pattern of what's missing from this team in key moments. Now, beyond that, let me go back up a little bit here. Jim Boeheim liked what he saw otherwise, not that play, but he said they got what they wanted in that last play out of the timeout.
We were great tonight. We got back in it. We were down, if you remember. And we got back in it with our execution was great at the end. You know, Buddy got a backdoor layup. We got it to Jesse. Unfortunately, you know, when he got fouled, he missed the free throw. But, again, we got what we wanted, even at the end, the last play. We wanted to get it inside and got it to Jesse, and he didn't think he had it, so he got it to Jimmy, and I thought there was a foul there, and it just wasn't called. But our execution was great offensively.
Cole Swider says it's a process, and he's going to believe right to the end.
This is a process. I think Coach Boeheim will tell you more than anything. This whole entire season is a process, and we're just trying to get to be the best thing we can at the end of the year. Obviously, it's tough. We put ourselves in this hole, and we lost a lot of close games, and I mean, our last five losses is now by like 16 points, so it's tough to lose like this. But at the same time, I think we have a good team. I think we can, like I keep on saying, I think we can go on a run, and I'm going to believe that until the last second of the season. So we're just going to keep working, get back to work, and get prepared for Clemson on Tuesday.
I'm not trying to discourage Cole. He's going to believe it one way or the other, but this team can't go on a run. And I know that because I haven't seen them do it. They haven't won more than two games this year. They don't have the defense to go on a sustained run, and you've got to get over the hump in these games. You've had enough experience in these close games that you've got to take that experience from prior games and carry it over and build a confidence in these situations instead of throwing around inbounds passes and trying to go hero ball and throw a full court pass. And there's just and they're in the games. That's the maddening thing. They're five losses under 5 points. Three of those go the other way. This team's above 500 right now. They're still in a pretty challenging position, but you feel better about getting a return on that investment. Too often this team's just not getting a return on that investment. That's almost – you'd almost – and any competitor would rather be in this situation than the one I'm going to present here. But, man, you'd almost rather lose by 20 points. Just so it's definitive, just so you it is made clear to you, like, you are not the better team in this situation. But they're not. They are in these moments with chances to win. And the thing that stands out to me that's got to cut the deepest is they did make a defensive stop. That's been missing. That has not been. It's just been back and forth. You look up at the end, who's got the ball, who, you know, oh, wow, we just got away with that one, won by 4 points, won by 5 points. You know, Florida State, going into that timeout, they had to be like, oh, crap, right? And they look up, like, whoa, we won by 5 points. What happened here, right? Too often that's what's happening. So there's what is, and I'm asking this rhetorically, but I think I know the answer to it, but kind of curious what you think about it. What is missing from this team? What killer instinct is there? Who gets the ball in that situation? I was actually talking with somebody Saturday night, and they hadn't seen the end play, and I was kind of describing it to them, and they're just like, well, why didn't Buddy get the ball in that situation? And it brought to mind something. It's like, yeah, who's that guy? Like Tyus Battle, or like just somebody recently that pops to mind, but who is that player? It's like, okay, game on the line, who's getting it? I think the closest on this team is Buddy, but Buddy's going to be doubled. And to rely on him to be open in these spots, not good. I would say Gerard in prior moments, but it just didn't work out that way in this game. And again, you know, as a point guard, he's struggling against teams that can pressure him and against teams that can harass him and against teams that can really put his decision-making in those key moments on the line. We saw what happened. They went to the three-guard lineup, took him off the ball, but at the end, everything resets to just, here's my five, here we go, try and make a play. So much like this season, what we're seeing from this team in these tight moments is a microcosm of this season. Everything is right there. They're just not getting over the finish line. Something's missing. They're not going to find it in time to make a sustained run here. Again, if Cole Swider proves me wrong, then I'll be the first to stand up and say, boy, I was wrong about this. But they don't have the ingredients to make a sustained run. So what are they fighting for here? They're fighting for a winning record. They're fighting as competitors to win games and all those things you have to tell yourself right now. But the more we go along here and really start to dig in the heart of conference play, like, it's fading away, what you really play for. I mean, you've got the parachute with the ACC tournament, but again, this team doesn't have the goods right now to make a run because they can't win 3, 4, 5 games in a row. That's not just my opinion. Look at the schedule. Look at what's happened to this point. They literally can't do it. They fight, they scratch, they claw, they play hard. They've got a lot of likable characteristics about this team, but they don't have the athletes, they don't have the defense, and they don't have the sustainability to go on a run. And I don't know if you're going to find that over the next, you know, 14 games or so. So a lot of the critics are out, of course. I wrote a column about this today. I really appreciate a lot of the feedback on that. We'll kind of go over that a little bit. I think Jim Boeheim had some interesting things to say on the ACC media call today and after the game Saturday. We played a couple of those clips. But, yeah, of course, everybody's adopted son, Benny Williams. I mean, this is nothing against Benny. I like Benny a lot. And what Benny did after the game shows you why you should not have the agita you do about him not playing right now. But it's a fair question to at least be like, all right, he played in 16 straight games and has just disappeared. Like, how bad must it be at practice that this dude is a ghost right now? Because we don't see practice. We just kind of have to trust that it's that bad and he's struggling that much. And by the way, that's not a narrative he pushes back against. He just keeps grinding, waiting for his chance. But Benny Williams is not the difference between winning and losing these games we're talking about here. So, I mean, that's just an obsession. The fan base is going to go on, and that speaks to a bigger issue, which we'll get into and have talked about before. But to not play any minutes, it's at the very least notable and interesting. But it's not worth the agita. Let's break on that note. We will come back. We'll continue this conversation for sure. We'll hear from the Syracuse fans throughout the show. We'll hear from Dan Hoard later in the program. But next, the man, the myth, the legend, Sal Capaccio. Still can't believe we watched what we watched Saturday night in Orchard Park. Sal will try and make sense of it for us. I'm enjoying it. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes you just don't ask questions. But he'll make sense of what he saw from field level coming up next.
Watch your favorite ESPN Syracuse sports talk shows on QSportsTalk.com. This is On the Block with Brent Axe.
We back, baby. On the Block, ESPN Radio, QSportsTalk.com. Tommy Gunn is here, and that means Double Down is coming your way tonight.
Big episode.
Big episode tonight, 6 o'clock. How much mayonnaise will Michael Lear consume after keeping his hand in a jar of mayonnaise for the entire show? That's a pretty creative bet there.
Thank you.
No way I would ever do it because no. Just
you'll find a loophole.
I'm not big on bets that make me throw up or make me gag with the thought of throwing up, right? So credit to Michael Lear for going down that road.
And Mike likes mayonnaise, but I was on the phone with him earlier, Brent, and he was legitimately gagging as he was talking about having to. He'll have to lick whatever's left on his index finger as he pulls it out at the end of the show.
See, like Josh and Cody, our friends over on K-Rock, they did the watch party Saturday, and part of that was they had to do condiment shots.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about it, like, I could definitely do a ketchup shot.
Yeah. Absolutely. You're Mr. I hate ketchup.
No, I hate ketchup on hot dogs.
But you'll take a shot of it. Oh, okay. That makes sense.
I'll put ketchup on other things.
Got it.
Just don't put ketchup on a hot dog.
Okay.
It depends on what kind of mustard. Like, I could get it down.
I love mustard. I could do any mustard.
But still, like, it gets this, you know, your sinuses going a little bit. But I could get it down. I could definitely get a shot of relish down. Barbecue sauce for sure. Mayonnaise, like, see, mayonnaise is good in spread a little on a sandwich.
Gross.
Or certain recipes.
I don't like any.
Kind of mix it in, but there's other things in there. Like, you either love or you hate mayo. There's no in between.
I hate it.
There's no in between.
So that's why I'm glad that I did better than him at picking bowl games this year.
So you would have to do this?
If I lost, I would have had to do it. But I picked 4 more games correctly than him during the college football bowl season. So I want, not to brag, I had 14 of 15 at one point.
So tonight, the mayonnaise bet will be paid off.
Mayonnaise episode, Mikey Mayo.
Mikey Mayo. Another great nickname.
Thank you.
Let's do this.
It's time for the Blind Side.
Let's make it happen. What you got?
Before I ask you a question, Brent, can I rant for a second?
You surely can.
There was something at the Syracuse basketball game that really rubbed me the wrong way.
Can I take a guess?
Please.
Florida State wouldn't sit down?
Yes. This was...
I knew you were going to do this.
An absolute joke by Syracuse fans. If you are a Syracuse fan and were one of the people yelling, Florida State, sit down, tee them up, sit down, sit that bench down, I'm ashamed. Truly, I'm ashamed. You're asking 18 to 22-year-olds to sit down and stop cheering for their teammates that they've worked all year for, to play good college basketball, to be in ACC basketball playing at this level, and you're asking them to sit down because you can't see part of the game? I'm disgusted, and I truly was sitting there mortified that ushers were having to hear this, that the Florida State bench was having to hear this. It was disgusting. I cannot believe that we've got old men that are sitting in the first section at Syracuse games yelling at the opposing bench to sit down when they're cheering for their team playing well. Disgusting.
Disagree.
Brent, you're out of your mind.
Disagree.
You're going to ask 18 to 22-year-olds to sit down.
If I pay for a ticket and I am at a basketball game, Brent. Here's the thing.
Oh, my God.
I want to see the basketball game.
At the expense of...
They need to be respectful too, because they're up the whole time. Like, there's certain times you get up, you cheer.
They were not. Can I say this? I was there. They were not up the whole time. They were up at points when they're cheering for their team to play well.
If they're being obnoxious and up cheering all the, like, no. You got to be respectful of the people
behind. They can stand
for the
whole game. I don't care. They're cheering for their teammates. That they've worked hard to get to this point.
See, what I thought you were going to do, you know, you think you're Big J in it over there in the corner, but you can't even see.
I can't.
That bench stands up. Now, they've got the game on the big screen.
I watch half the game on the big screen.
But if I'm in the building, is it too much to ask that I can see the basketball game?
Yes.
The debate amongst fans standing up too much, that's always interesting.
Fine.
If
you're upset with a fan sitting in front of you, then fine. I mean, I still think it's ridiculous, but it's not nearly as ridiculous to ask 18 to 22-year-olds to sit down and stop cheering for their teammate that has worked hard to play at this level of college basketball.
I think there's a balance there.
Paul, you're out of
your mind. Respect goes two ways.
No, what are you?
Respect goes two ways.
Oh my God!
You have to be respectful of people trying to see the game. Now, it's not like that place. Here's the compromise. Now, you can't always do this. It's not like that place was jammed to the gills. Like, could you have moved those fans somewhere where they could see the game? Now, if those are their seats and that's where they want to be, that's where they want to be. But anyway, you haven't even asked the question yet.
I don't know if I can.
You threw me off. I was getting ready to advocate for you and the other Big J's. They stick in the corner. Like, that's a big building, and there's a lot of places they can put journalists. Like, is it too much to ask for people that are there working to see the basketball game? Because in that corner, you can't see squat.
Two different things. I can't see anything. But there's a humongous jumbotron that Syracuse University just paid millions to put up there. If you have to watch a possession or two because 18 to 22-year-olds are rooting on their teammates and friends, get over yourself.
It's not a possession or two, though.
Yes, Brent, I was there. I'm telling you, it was a possession or two. If their teammates were playing well, they stood up to cheer.
All right, we disagree.
If not,
on this.
They were sitting down.
We disagree. On this.
I think that's bananas that anybody can think otherwise. Would you have been yelling from Big J Row for Florida State to sit down if you were there?
Probably.
Oh my God. I don't know if I want to do the Blind Side, Brent. I'm disgusted.
I've let you down.
Can we cut the Blind Side in half since I lost my appetite? Not because I only have five questions.
Well, we're going to have to anyway. You've been ranting about this, so we're not getting
That's
10
true.
Questions done.
Mayo does.
So pick.
Mikey
pick,
Mayo deserves.
Pick your best five.
Full hour. The long football pass. Is that the worst play in college basketball? In basketball.
It never works.
College.
Now, shout out to, and rest in peace to the great Conrad McRae. Work for him. Work for Christian Laettner. There's a reason you remember that play.
Exactly.
Because they don't work.
How many half-court shots have been hit then? More than the
That's why you remember them.
Yes. Give me the half-court shot.
The only missed half-court shot anybody ever remembers is Butler.
But I'll take the chances of making a half-court shot than completing a 75.
The play doesn't work.
No, don't do it. Even if Joe thought he saw someone open, do it.
Honestly, if I'm going to pick somebody to run that play on that team, I'm picking the old high school quarterback, yes. And it didn't even work for him. So don't do it.
No, it was a bad
play. And that's on Joe, by the way. This is not a Boeheim criticism. That was completely on Joe.
And they had plenty of time. I believe there's like 3.5, 4 seconds
left. They had plenty of time. And if I'm not mistaken, a timeout.
I don't know about that.
I'd have to double check myself. I think they had a timeout.
I'll say this.
If they did, come on.
I don't know if you call a timeout there, Brent. You can't advance the ball in college basketball.
Yeah, that's always a choice. Do you call a timeout or not?
Yeah, you get hecked it. Like, I feel, let me say this, especially with this Syracuse team, I feel better chances of them breaking a press when no timeout than allowing Florida State to set up a press, break a press, and find a shot.
Right.
So I don't think they should have called timeout, but just get the ball in.
Gotcha.
Give yourself a chance. What score until you're finally comfortable in the Bills game?
On Saturday?
Yes. The most recent Bills.
Oh, I thought you meant like in general.
No. What score in that game?
In that game?
Could you finally sit back and
say,
I've done
it? Dude, I was even into the fourth quarter.
You were tweeting the again gifts.
Yeah. See, it wasn't so much the score. I did fall into a, how can I put this? You know, I don't believe in this stuff. You know that. But I had tweeted just a couple of GIFs as my response. And with the Bills rolling, I'm like, I can't change this thing. So that's all I tweeted through that game.
I like it.
You know?
I like that.
I mean, actually believed in the juju there.
Yes, you were keeping up with the same juju while I was trying to
switch it up.
It wasn't
a score thing. It was just don't break this pattern until I feel like the game was in hand.
I like it.
There you go.
Was the Cowboys play the worst end of gameplay that you've ever seen?
It's off the top of my head for sure.
It's kind of like Joe Girard thing. Just take your chance. Take the Hail Mary from the 50. What's the difference in taking it at the 30?
You're running a quarterback sneak with no timeouts. 14 seconds to go. Like, even if he had got the ball and they were able to run another play, bro, you left yourself like 2 seconds.
Well, you only want the Hail Mary.
That's all you need for the one shot, but...
So stupid.
It's as dumb as it gets.
Couldn't believe
dumb.
It.
So if it's not the worst, it's in the top three.
If you're at your own 30 and wanted to change a 70-yard Hail Mary to a 50, then fine. But changing a 50-yard Hail Mary to 30 made no sense.
Not at all. We got time for one more.
All right. Would you have looked like Ryan Fitzpatrick if you went to the Bills game?
Look, if I went to that game, yes, is the answer to that question. If you're not familiar with this, former Buffalo Bills quarterback Ryan Fitzmagic going shirtless. At the Buffalo Bills.
I can't believe he was at the game.
Man of the people. Not only was Fitzy at the game, Fitzy was in the stands, not in some suite. Amazing. And my man's going shirtless in the 4-degree weather. Shout out to Fitzy. Buffalo Bill at heart.
I've got one more question for you. Can I yell at the fans next time they're telling the opposing team to sit down, or would I get in trouble as a
Tommy,
big
this is America. You can do whatever you want to do.
You said it.
Back after this.